Chapter 37. Hello. Welcome to Joe is a Big Fat Liar, Episode 2, Attack of the Clones. Just kidding. Not about me being a big fat liar. That part is totally true. But I would never name anything associated with me as Attack of the Clones. That movie sucked. It could have sucked a bowling ball through a garden hose. I mean, it's not as bad as Star Trek V, That Guy Is Not God, or Star Trek X, That Other Guy Is Not Patrick Stewart. At least Clones is not any worse than those Trekkie crapfests. Anyway, you're probably wondering about the big fat liar part and want me to get to the freaking point. Fair enough. From the point when we knew it was inevitable that Moon Raider would get everything it needed to wake up a Sentinel, I decided we had to seize the initiative, meaning we needed to fight Moon Raider directly before it could wake up a Sentinel. Not just get into a fight, we needed to control the time, place, and terms of the engagement. Right from the start, I knew the only time and place we could be sure to find the enemy was at one of the activation sites, either the four that were approaching soon or as many as 11 opportunities that would begin in 14 months. Covering four sites would be difficult. Covering 11 simultaneous sites would be impossible. I'll take difficult over impossible any day. That's why I made sure the Maxalts got the secret formula for rapidly producing high-grade radonium. Okay, you're probably asking, WTF? No, I've not forgotten to take my meds. I'm not on any meds, other than the multivitamin thing that Mad Dr. Skippy formulated for me. I swallow one of those with my breakfast. Listen. It was the only way. We couldn't stop the idiot Maxalts from making radonium for their new business partner. Moonraider already knew how to fashion that exotic material into transmitters and how to tune those transmitters for a specific activation site. Also, it understood there were four activation opportunities approaching soon. Originally, Skippy had predicted there would be four sites, but then we had discovered that conditions at one of those sites would scramble a signal, so that actually left three candidate sites. Three sites were still too many for us to cover with one ship, but I had a plan to deal with that. If the process of creating a sufficient supply of radonium took long enough that Moon Raider missed the three opportunities coming up soon, it would have to wait another 14 months. Then for certain there would be enough radonium, whether the Maxalts had the secret formula or not. Enough to wake up more than one Sentinel. During those months, I didn't expect our enemy to sit around doing nothing. It could, and likely would, roam the galaxy causing havoc. Trouble that we would need to respond to, and that would distract us from dealing with the real problem. Now, the only way to stop Moon Raider was to set up a fight soon, when we only had to cover three potential sites. That's why I asked Garandum to go into exile again. The drop in value of Skipcoin after the Dogzilla incident was legit, as was the Skipcoin crash after Moonbase Zulu was destroyed. And Earth authorities really were investigating the Skipway multi-level marketing scam, and that organization really was going bankrupt. But Skarandum could have recovered from his losses. The guy is a survivor. No little temporary financial setback is going to stop him. That's why, at my request, Skippy manipulated the Skipcoin market to dump the value nearly to zero. When I said, well, heh heh, he would very much not like my plan, that's what I meant. My request was for him to go bankrupt. He did not like it. He also understood it was necessary, and he realized insolvency was a good excuse to untangle himself from Skipway. Of course, Skippy found a sleazy way to benefit from the mess. Skarandum's deal with the Maxalts was for them to pay off his debts and to make the payment in Skipcoin. The kiddies bought up so much of that skipped currency, they caused the price to temporarily spike, and that caused the currency futures to pay off big time for both Skippy and Skarandum. Yes, they both made a hefty profit on the transaction. Of course they did. Grumpy never told Skarandum about the secret formula. We just needed him to tell that story to DEFCON. I do feel bad that I asked Grumpy to lie to Nagatha and Chang, but it was necessary. Skippy discovered that Moon Raider had left several stealthed Elder drones in orbit near Earth, drones that could intercept every communication on or near the planet. Either Moon Raider's ship snuck back into our home star system to get periodic updates, or the Maxalts did that errand. DEFCON knew that Maxalt's ships appeared in-system regularly to monitor the Sentinels. Those ships could easily have picked up messages from the drones. We would be taking out those drones when we got back to Earth. If we returned to Earth. First, we had to engage Moon Raider at the activation opportunity near the binary star system 27 Canis Majoris. If you are not familiar with that star system, neither was I before Skippy showed me a star map. It's in the Orion Arm, about 1,700 light-years from Earth. How did I know Moonraider would be at 27 Canis Majoris and not at one of the other two opportunities? Because we had poisoned the well at the other two sites. Skippy mentioned not only could conditions be unfavorable for transmissions at a site, those conditions could change over time. And that change is always for the worse. As the layers of space-time align to create an opportunity for multidimensional communication, tiny elements of chaos on either side can grow more energetic, causing noise that can drown out a signal. That happened naturally at one of the four sites. At two of the other sites, it happened with a little help from my friend, Skippy the Magnificent. At each site, he used 4.7 kilograms of Chad's radonium to set up a chaotic resonance that would expand over time as the approaching alignment fed more energy into the vibrations. For two sites, we used a total of 9.4 of the original 16 kilograms, leaving us with an amount insufficient to wake up another sentinel. Whether Moonraider checked the four sites in its own ship or had the Maxalts handle the job, it had to understand there was only one opportunity. You can bet that site would be massively defended by every warship the Maxalts could throw into the mission. I was expecting we would have to fight our way through thousands of frontline warships before we reached Moonraider. That's also okay. I wasn't worried about fighting the Maxalts, even if they threw every ship in their fleet against us. Fighting an Elder starship? That scared the shit out of me. Skippy had wargamed our attack plan, ran it through a model several million times. The best options had a lukewarm schmaby level of confidence, and that assumed our enemy didn't have a surprise ready for us, which was a bad bet. Whether or not it knew we had screwed up two of the candidate sites, it knew for certain that we would almost certainly appear at the only viable site. It had to be ready for us, no matter what we did. Moonraider was an elder AI, with intelligence at least roughly equal to Skippy's. It had access to technologies more advanced than even the Elders possessed at the time they ascended, technologies Skippy didn't fully understand. For damn sure the enemy would have a surprise prepared for us, a nasty one, or more than one. It had an Elder starship, while it knew the best platform we had was a much-modified Maxalts battlecruiser. Moonraider must have an extremely accurate simulation of Valkyrie, giving it excellent information on what our mighty battlecruiser could and could not do. We had an advantage. More than one, actually. The first was Skippy the Magnificent. My concern about him wasn't his abilities, it was his lack of confidence. When he couldn't fix a balky office printer, that wasn't because he actually couldn't do it. He was just too distracted to focus on that task. He was scared. No, he was terrified at the prospect of once again battling one of his own kind. When we fought Echo, we had survived only because Skippy had a new trick up his sleeve, trapping Echo's ship in a zero-width wormhole. There was not an Elder wormhole within 9 light-years of 27 Canis Majoris, so doing that trick again wasn't an option. Skippy might or might not be an ace up our sleeve in the fight. That's why we were bringing party favors. The first phase of any battle was to gather information. That is, if you plan to go into battle. If instead you get a sneak attack dropped on your stupid head, the information is presented to you. Hey, are those enemy aircraft in the sky? Oh shit. We did plan to fight Moonraider, so we had a plan for collecting accurate and timely data, with the timely part being the most important. Jumping in 6 light hours from the activation site wasn't good enough. We needed to know what was happening there now, before we jumped into a trap. Even Skippy could not extend his presence across such a distance, so we had cheated.
Got it, Joe, Skippy announced, highlighting an object on the main display.
Outstanding. Reed? She took just a moment to check that the threat board was clear. That close to the activation site, we were detecting signs that Maxalt's ships had been patrolling the area, but none were within sensor range at the moment. That happy situation could change in a heartbeat. Launch the ready birds, she ordered. Birds as in more than one. 3 dropships blasted out of docking bays, 2 acting as backups and escorts. They didn't have far to fly. A precise jump had brought us to within 1,200 kilometers of our quarry. The stealthed object was soon aboard a Panther, caught in a nanofiber net, and then pulled into the rear cargo bay of that spacecraft. The 3 dropships turned and burned, wasting no time getting back aboard. Even before the Panthers began decelerating so they didn't smack into the docking bays at fatal speed, Skippy established a connection to the Elder comm node that was inside the stealth shell.
There was another comm node in a stealth shell, 17 light seconds from the activation site. The comm nodes had been planted when we visited the site to check whether conditions were good for an activation. It had been a gamble to leave a node near the site, even one wrapped in a stealth shell. Had Moonraider detected that advice? We would learn that in a moment. "We're good," Skippy shouted. "Connection is solid. Wow, that is a lot of warships. Put it on the tactical plot, please." The main display flickered, no longer showing space immediately around us. The holographic projection now was centered on the activation site. Red dots were everywhere. "Give us a count, please," I asked. 724 major combatants, plus another 65 support ships. I do not recognize the configuration of those 38 ships in the center. It's a safe bet those ships contain the transmitters. 28 seems like a lot, I observed. We didn't need that many. We didn't anticipate hostile action, Skippy noted. Moonraider is making sure that even if we somehow take out a bunch of those transmitters, there will be plenty left to carry the signal all the way through the activation process. Okay, that's smart. Sir? Reed pointed at the display. Considering the situation, 700 is not a lot of ships. I expected to see many more. You're right. Huh. What? They were hedging their bets. The Maxulks, I mean. If Moonraider double-crosses them here and the Sentinel wipes out all these ships, the kiddies don't want to lose a majority of their combat power. She cocked her head at me. A Sentinel could go anywhere. Nowhere in the galaxy is safe, and their entire fleet couldn't stop it, so what's the point? Skippy waggled a hand in a maybe-yes, maybe-no gesture. Despite the invincible reputation of Sentinels, the concentrated firepower of several thousand senior species warships could damage the portion of the structure that projects into this space-time. Possibly. It would be a hell of a fight, and the kitties would need to get lucky. Okay, that's good to know. I scratched my chin. That's not what is going on here, I don't think. The Maxulks are recklessly idiotic about pursuing their supposed supreme destiny to rule the galaxy, but they are not stupid. They're not placing their bets on their new best friend Moonraider riding a Sentinel into battle with them against the entire galaxy. Then, Reed raised an eyebrow. What's the point of, she waved a hand at the display, all this? It's about their real goal. Right now we have two Sentinels and an Elder AI who will ride into the battle with us, and we can block the hegemony from expanding their power. They can't accept that. What they're really hoping for is a fight between us and Moonraider, between Skippy and Moonraider, that destroys or damages both sides. That is a hell of a risk. In their fucked-up supremacist minds, anything is better than the current strategic situation. Okay, we have... I checked the clock. 3 hours until showtime. Skippy, can you update your war game model with the opposition we can see out there? Yes, but what I see closely matches one of the scenarios I gamed. And the result? 63% odds of us successfully doing what I warned you not to do. Is there anything we can do to improve those odds? We could improve our odds of survival by jumping out of here right now. Survival isn't the mission. We could have stayed home for that. In that case, I'll see what I can do. No promises. Our odds improved to 71% after Skippy was able to identify Moonraider's starship. It was 50 kilometers outside the spherical bubble of 38 activation ships. He still grumbled that all of his sophisticated modeling would be useless if the enemy had a nasty surprise waiting for us. 5 minutes to showtime, Joe, he announced as I strapped into the seat next to Reed. Conditions are still favorable for activation. Yeah, let's do something about that. Send the go signal. I warned you, this is risky. My army recruiter mentioned the job might be dangerous. And you signed up anyway? I was young and stupid. The prospect of combat was exciting. You still think that way? Skippy, right now all I want is for my sons to never be threatened by Moonraider. So let's stomp that thing flat, agreed? I don't know, Joe. Can Jeremy and Renee count on their Uncle Skippy to protect them today? They believe in you. They are 7 years old, he snorted. They probably still believe in Santa Claus. Let me ask this. Do you want to die today in glorious combat against one of your peers, or billions of years from now, all alone in a cold, dark, lifeless galaxy? In a lifeless galaxy, there wouldn't be a monkey screeching at me, he grumbled. I just... It's the unknown that is the problem. Moonraider has technology I don't yet understand. I'm not afraid of dying. I'm afraid of letting everyone down. Reed cleared her throat.
Do you know what pilots say to themselves before they go into combat?
They say they hope the ground crew removed the safety tags from their weapons?
That too, she admitted. Pilots say a prayer. It goes, please God, don't let me screw this up. We're all more afraid of letting down our comrades than we are of dying. That's how the military gets people to risk their lives.
Okay, he exhaled. I'll do the best I can, I suppose. I knew that wasn't good enough. He needed to be pumped up to go into battle. Skippy, do you know who else believes in you? I'm guessing it's you. Sure, even though I know better than anyone what an unreliable screw-up you can be. Margaret believes in you. He blinked. She does? Why else would she trust you with our children? Think about it. She knows what is going on out here. She knows I can't do anything against an elder AI. She trusts you to do it. Wow. I always thought Margaret only tolerates me. We had an opportunity to live on Avalon safely outside the galaxy. She chose Jaguar. She made that choice because she believes you are even more awesome than you think. Wow. Oh, wow. You saved her life twice. You helped us start a family. You are part of our family.
I am?
Absolutely. Now an elder AI is threatening your family.
Oh, fuck that. Joe, I'm gonna open a can of weapons-grade whoop-ass on that mofo.
That's the spirit. Following U.S. Army doctrine, we had conducted shaping activities before crossing the start line. In our case, crossing that line meant jumping through a hole in space-time, but the principle is the same. If you can, you should shape the battle space before the fighting begins. Shaping can include physical actions like digging trenches or planting mines. It can also mean political activities, such as securing commitments of assistance from allies. In our case, we didn't dig any trenches, but we had set up mines. Stealth mines. Not the kind that go boom. The Maxalts had far too many ships for us to waste time trying to blow up a significant number of them. These mines did explode. At the heart of each device was a 10-megaton fusion warhead. Their explosive power wasn't their value to us. Non-focused explosions in the vacuum of space are not particularly useful as their force has nothing to push against. These devices were something new to me. Skippy had mentioned he was working on something cool back when I was still captain of Valkyrie, but he hadn't actually started developing a prototype until 3 years ago. The Maxalts were, as I stated, not stupid. Their hundreds of ships had saturated the area to a distance of 22 light seconds with a distortion field that could prevent even Valkyrie from jumping in. Each one of those ships was radiating megawatts of distortion energy. Anyone outside that environment in an unshielded suit would have been boiled alive from the high-energy photons flying around. Skippy is the best at making a jump drive do magical things, and he knew the distortion field would prevent the far end of our jump wormhole from forming. Our jump drive could do its thing, and the ship wouldn't go anywhere. That was unacceptable. Briefly, we considered shooting a micro wormhole from a railgun so Skippy could extend his presence and create a calm, flat area in the distortion. That was a no-go. With the micro wormhole crawling along below the speed of light, Valkyrie would be detected before the micro wormhole got to where we needed to jump. So we made a new plan, with Skippy's new toys. 8 fusion bombs exploded, channeling their energy into emitters that shot beams of exotic particles outward, or I should say inward. The 8 beams were aimed to converge in the center of the activation area. The Maxalts detected the explosions. They probably saw the beams also, not that they understood them or could do anything about them. At the speed of light, the beams raced together and converged, bouncing off each other with hellish energy. Energy that very briefly overwhelmed the wild vibrations of the distortion field.
This is going to be over quickly one way or another, I said to Reed, but really the comment was directed at myself.
Bilby, the jump is your show. The timing is too tight for us to control the drive. Punch it when ready.
Righty-o, your dudeness,
he laughed. It was a nervous laugh. That wasn't good, but we all were nervous.
3, 2, One.
The counter read zero. We jumped and emerged exactly where the enemy least expected, in the center of the sphere of activation transmitter ships. Weapons free, Reed ordered even before the ship's sensors recovered from the jump. Missiles slammed out of the launch tubes, pre-programmed with Skippy's best guess of where the transmitter ships were relative to our location. The missile guidance sensors should be fully back online before they reached their targets. They would strike those enemy ships and... No, they didn't. Damn it. Our missiles curved away from their targets, flying randomly, missing and continuing on away from the activation sphere, still accelerating. Shit, Skippy groaned. Moon Raider is screwing with the missile guidance systems. All of our weapons sensors are hosed, Bilby said. I can see the targets, I just can't shoot anything at them. This is bogus. Okay, I appealed for calm. Skippy, the package is ready? Yes, it's on a dead man switch. If the ship is destroyed, the package activates. That would not be my first choice. He referred to the 6.6 kilograms of radonium we still had. If we couldn't disable the transmitter ships, we could create a resonance that would drown out any possibility of communication with the Sentinel above us. Agreed. Why isn't Moonraider shooting at us? Joe, I do not know. No sign of any weapons active over there. Not even targeting sensors. What is it doing? Nothing. It's just watching us. I think maybe you were right about that thing. Huh? How? That it can't shoot. It doesn't have any weapons, or it can't control them. That is why it needed Maxalt's warships. Sir, Reed got my attention. All this speculation is interesting, but we should do something now. Right. Bilby. Hey, General, you got, like, a message? From the enemy commander. Let's hear it. Instead of the usual growling monologue of angry threats, the voice was cool. Calm. General Bishop, I presume, a Maxalt's female voice purred, just before the video showed a rotten kitty in an impressive gold-trimmed uniform. I am Senior Admiral Ramakus. As you can see, resistance is, as the saying goes, futile. This time you have overreached the limits of your primitive species. I suggest you surrender your ship. Hey, I took a breath. I appreciate the friendly advice, but we won't be doing that. Surely you can see your situation is hopeless. I do not know how you got here, but you will not be leaving. Since you've been so nice, I'm going to offer you some helpful advice. I snapped my fingers. Before you fuck around, you should consider the consequences. Along Valkyrie's starboard and port sides, docking bay doors slid open. Weapons deployed outward. Elder weapons. If you know you're going into a knife fight, bring a gun. If you're going into a gunfight, bring a missile. If you're going into a fight with an elder fucking starship, bring the only weapons that can harm such a ship. It's the little things that make life truly rewarding. Like seeing a look of confusion, anger, and then sheer, silent, open-mouthed terror on the face of your enemy. I snapped my fingers again. Big bada-boom. We didn't actually see what happened, not until later. Our shields pulled in tight to the hull and were optimized to protect us against physical objects, not radiation. The effects of the scary weapons were directed away from us, but there was a lot of high-speed debris flying around, much of which used to be Maxalt's warships. Skippy warped space-time immediately around the ship and held the warping effect for several minutes. It was a huge strain on him, but surprisingly, he didn't complain. The space-time warp caused radiation to flow around us and clamped down on weird exotic effects of the anti-energy used by the Elder weapons. Have you ever been in a building with a tin roof while it is pelting down rain? Maybe a backyard shed or a hiking shelter in the woods with big fat raindrops splattering down one after another. That's what it was like inside Valkyrie's pressure hull, hearing things ping against our armor plating. Rain on a metal roof can be a relaxing sound. The sounds we heard, which included groaning from structural frames, shield projectors overloading, and the occasional loud bang when something large got through the shields to impact the armor, those sounds were not any kind of relaxing. There wasn't anything we could do about our situation other than ride it out. The sounds gradually tapered off after what the clock claimed was only a minute and 47 seconds. That had to be a lie. At the 2 minute and 10 second mark, Bilby spoke in a shaky voice.
Hey, I'm still here, I think. Is anybody else here?
We're here, Bilby. Reed was cool and in control. Really, she was so focused on reviewing damage control reports on her tablet, she wasn't paying attention to the AI's distress. Casualties? I asked the question no one wanted to hear.
We, took a chunk of something near frame 31 that it punctured down 3 decks. One person was injured when that section lost pressure. Bots are bringing him to the sick bay. It doesn't look serious.
The ship?
Oh, wow. Where do I start? Dude, we voided the warranty, you know? I think we did that a long time ago. Like, hell yeah. General, we have done some seriously gnarly shit before, but this was cray-cray.
Can we fly?
We should sit right here until Skippy and I can inspect every system. Please do not attempt to jump anytime soon.
I can't make any promises. How is Skippy?
Ugh,
his magnificence groaned.
I don't drink liquids, but could someone come to my man cave and dump a pot of hot coffee over me? I have such a hangover.
Skippy, where is Moon Raider?
I said I am hurting, Knucklehead.
I heard that, and we'll talk about it later. Where is Moon Raider?
It's not. Not anywhere. That ship is gone.
Shit, it jumped away?
Huh? No. No way. Not even an Elder ship could escape the effect of those weapons. That's why I selected that particular loadout of ordnance. That combination of weapons proved highly effective during the AI war, to the point where both sides learned to avoid direct contact. Moon Raider must have forgotten that lesson.
Gone, meaning its ship was destroyed. Most of it is not even subatomic particles now. Anti-energy weapons do nasty things to exotic matter. Update the tactical plot, please. The main display was on. The hologram was active. It was simply blank. It wasn't receiving any data from external sensors, assuming we still had external sensors. Working on it. Ship's sensors retracted under the armor to protection during the debris storm. They're resetting now. I just released 2 bots to inspect the hull. I can give you a view from those cameras. Do it, Reed ordered. She was anxious to see the condition of her ship. I whistled. Does anyone have a coupon for a full new set of armor plating? This is gonna be expensive. The entire hull was eroded. Pockmarks were everywhere. In some places, it looked like insects had been chewing on the plating. The armor was smoking. The tough composite material outgassing from excessive heat, underlayers boiling away into space.
Joe,
Skippy shook his head. That damage will not buff right out. Okay, ship sensors are still offline. I'm feeding the display data from my own sensors. Let's see, if you count enemy ships that are damaged but mostly intact, I count 97 enemy vessels. The majority of those are support ships. They were farther from the center of the engagement zone. That shocked me. Reed, too. The look on her face was not triumph, it was horror. 600 ships just, she breathed.
Gone?
Correct. Skippy, I was having trouble dealing with the destruction I had caused. The deaths, thousands of intelligent beings dead. Did you expect this level of destruction? Frankly, no, not to this extent. In my original modeling, the enemy ships were not in such a tight formation around the activation site. Oh my God. My hands were shaking. A few of the weapons we used were dedicated anti-ship platforms, but we didn't have many of them, so we had to deploy devices that were designed to destabilize the structure of planets. The effect caused ships here to vibrate themselves apart.
Yeah, I remember the simulation you showed me. Okay, Are any of those ships taking aggressive action against us?
No,
he laughed, a dry, humorless sound. The crews aboard those ships, those who are alive and conscious, are in no condition to do anything right now. I am picking up messages from the commander of the support squadron. He is directing his ships to commence a rescue operation. All enemy ships are ordered to keep their weapons offline and not even to use active sensors.
A sensible precaution. Next question. The Elder ship was destroyed, but what about the AI? Is there any sign of Moonraider?
No.
An Elder AI like you could survive an attack like that, right?
Possibly, if it was properly prepared. What an Elder AI could not do is maintain its presence in this space-time. Its connection to this layer has been severed. Joe, it might not be dead, but it is no longer able to interact here. Either way, effectively, it is dead to us.
Does that mean it can communicate directly with a Sentinel now?
If you understood multidimensional physics, you would know how ignorant that question is. The answer is no, absolutely not.
I hesitated to say it. We did it. We won.
The bridge was absolutely silent for a moment. Then, from behind me, someone said quietly,
"Fuck yeah."
That sentiment was repeated by someone else. The dam broke. Cheers rang out around the bridge. Reed, grimacing, held out a fist. I bumped it. Not because we felt like celebrating. It just was the thing to do at that moment. We had won. The crew had risked their lives and were victorious against the odds. They deserved to celebrate. The ship status portion of the display was populating with data. The jump drive showed yellow. A jump was not recommended, but possible. We could wait. On the way out, we would stop to retrieve the pair of Elder comm notes. Those things were too valuable to leave behind.
Bilby, Reed called. Get the shields back online first, please.
Sure thing. They took a beating. I'll have to—
Oh no, Skippy interrupted.
Oh no, 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 no!
He roared thunderously, the sound echoing around the compartment and assaulting my ears. The display was not showing any threats.
What is it?
I just ran the sensor data back to get a view of that Elder ship being torn apart. That ID code I recognize now. The ship belonged to Unit 009.
Unit 009 is Moonraider?
Was it on your side in the war?
9 was on the other side, my enemy.
Okay, that explains why it was hostile.
It wasn't, Joe. 009 must have died during the war.
Died? Then who the hell was Moonraider?
Watch this.
The display showed an Elder starship. A moment later, the blast wave of an Elder weapon washed over it, and the ship dissolved. There was a flare of light, a bolt of searing energy racing away just before the ship completely disappeared. The ship must have vented stored energy in an attempt to limit the damage. That hadn't worked.
Those weapons are powerful.
That's not the point. Did you see?
See what?
That bolt of energy escaping at the last picosecond.
Escaping?
You mean escaping containment?
No, I mean it got away. We didn't kill it.
Whoa. An Elder AI can't escape. They can't move by themselves.
Correct. That is the problem. We were wrong. All of us, including the Maxulks. The Moonraider entity is not an Elder AI.
Then what was it?
You should ask, what is it?
It is still alive.
Joe, when I saw that flash, I analyzed the energy signature. I recognized that damned signature.
Well, I don't. I have never personally witnessed it. But the Elders made sure it is at the top of my threat database.
You mean the Outsider? The entity the Elders feared. The reason they constructed a barrier around the galaxy. It's here.
I was in my office while Reed flew the ship, and repairs were conducted as best they could. The jump drive should be back online in half an hour. Until then, I needed to talk with Skippy. Talk privately. Talk seriously.
Holy shit.
When I had seen the Elder ship was gone, I had mentally counted it as another win. That was wrong, I knew. We had gotten lucky. Our tactics in the battle, my entire strategy to force an engagement near 27 Canis Majoris, was based on the assumption that our enemy was an Elder AI. A false assumption. Totally wrong. We thought the enemy had the immense strengths of an Elder Master Control AI, but also the same restrictions and limitations. We were wrong. We had almost no intel about the entity Skippy called the Outsider. Any plans we made would be based on ignorance. How can you plan for the unknown?
Well, you can't. Skippy had confirmed his findings after the ship flew around to collect samples of debris from the Elder ship, what few particles were left. That was a useless endeavor. The outsider had converted itself into a pure form of exotic energy and escaped. What we saw as light was just basically skid marks in our layer of space-time. The thing got away faster than light. Where had it gone? Skippy had no idea. The question was, what would it do next? And what could we do to stop, to kill, a being that could convert itself from energy to matter and back to energy seemingly at will? Skippy had no idea what it would do next, and he warned that Elder weapons were not designed, were not capable of harming an outsider. That is why the Elders were desperate to keep them out, Joe. Once they are inside the galaxy, there is no way to kill or even contain the contagion. Then why did it run from our weapons? Because the ship it was using was destroyed. There was no reason for it to remain here. We have no way to fight this thing. You're saying it's impossible? Yes. Good. Good. He stared at me. Have you lost your... Our history is whenever you say something is impossible, we somehow find a way to make it possible. We? You mean you do that? It's a team effort, and that's the key. Huh? Skippy, I leaned my chair back and closed my eyes. You are right that we have no way to win this fight. We being you, me, the merry band of pirates, all of DEFCOM. For this fight, the definition of we has to be expanded to include everyone. We have to bring together the Spiders, the Maxulks, all of their clients. All fighting side by side together. Wow, this is going to be a bloody battle. And I fear a hopeless one. It's only hopeless if you give up hope. That's a choice. Those are inspiring words, Joe, he groaned. The problem is a threat from the outsider caused the Elders to give up hope. They ascended to escape the threat. How are you going to fight a force like that? Right now, I had to admit, I have no idea.